guys, welcome back to Let God Podcast. You're here with me, Aya Fair.
Me, Mary Hannah.
And me, Wanipa. Sorry, Mary Hannah waved as if you guys could see her.
I do it every time.
Today we're going to be continuing on from our topics of relationships from last week. But today we're going to be talking more about marriage, relationship dynamics. But we have a few special guests and we'll let them introduce themselves later on. We're going to start off with a prayer.
Okay, let's pray, guys. Dear Lord, we thank you once again for blessing us to see another day and to be together on this evening with all the people that are listening as well, just fellowshipping together and talking about you and your word and what it says. Lord, I pray that as we have this discussion about relationships, that you'll just guide our thoughts and guide our words so that they might be edifying and might uplift your name and also uplift all our listeners and help them feel positive and encouraged. Lord, I pray that you'll help us not take anything for granted. This year we've seen so much trauma, so much death, but you saw it fit to keep us here. And Lord, we know that you kept us here for a reason and a purpose. So I pray that you'll help us be able to find that and walk in it. But as for this evening, Lord, I pray that you'll just guide us, be with us, and let your light shine through us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Hi, Dad. Can you introduce yourself for us today, please?
Hi, Mariana. Hey. I'm Leke Otechu, and I'm Mariana's dad. And we have two beautiful girls, Mary Hannah and our sister. And Tosin is Mariana's mom. We love our girls so much. And what else should I say? Yeah.
About yourself.
I'm an educator. I've been teaching for 19 years. I'm currently in a role as a math specialist for lower school in an independent school for students with language learning disabilities and other learning difficulties. I just joined the school just recently. And before that, I was assistant principal at a special ed school in England, Kent. And I love my job. I love working with children. And I've been married for almost 23 years to my lovely wife of my young adult life. Yeah, we've known each other for almost maybe 27 years. And we love ourselves. Happy family.
Oh, that's good, Dad. And you already answered the question of how long you've been married. But what do you think makes a good marriage?
A good marriage? Seeking to understand rather than to be understood. And that's a huge phrase. Seeking, and I'm still unpacking that in my 23 years of marriage. Always understanding your mom, seeking to understand her, rather than seeking for her to understand me. And that goes pretty much within the frame of loving others and doing unto others what you want them to do unto you. So what makes a really good marriage is really making sure you make choices that are not selfish, and you're not just looking at how that choice will benefit you, but taking into consideration how your wife feels about it. And for me, most importantly, is taking responsibility.
Yeah.
So I've always seen myself as the shepherd of my home, not lording it over my wife, not at all, but being a servant. The Bible says the greatest leader is the greatest servant. So I see my role as husband to protect my wife, to provide, but most importantly, to serve her. So I always try. I drop the ball sometimes, but I always try to seek Tosin's interest more than mine. And like I said, I sometimes make mistakes and the Holy Spirit corrects me, but I'm still learning. But yeah. What makes a good marriage, to answer your question? Loving your wife more than yourself. Oh. When you love her more than yourself, you actually love yourself.
Oh, that's perfect, Dad. Thank you so much. Say bye.
Bye, everyone. See you later.
Hi, Daddy. Can you introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Simon. I was born and brought up in Zambia. I went to university in Zambia to study accounting and finance. After that, I joined KPMG and worked there for a few years. In 2003, I relocated to the UK and started working for the NHS. I still work for the NHS at the moment as a senior accountant.
Okay, Daddy, what makes a good husband?
What makes a good husband in a relationship is to treat your wife as an equal partner. The second thing is there has to be good communication, because there's no relationship which is perfect. So when problems do arise, you have to make sure that you don't harbor your feelings, but you do communicate and resolve issues. The other issue is to stand by each other when they are when you are going through difficulties. It could be pressures at work, or it could be a family bereavement, or any other personal problems which we tend to encounter in life. You have to stand by each other.
Okay, so what do you think that I should look for in a husband, other than love, because that's the obvious one?
Okay, there are several things which you should be able to look forward to somebody who's potentially going to be your long-term husband or partner. The first one is to look for a person who's going to accept you as you are. Not because you are a successful person or you've got money. Otherwise, that kind of person wouldn't be ideal, because when you no longer have the money, or you are no longer successful, they may not be able to put up with you.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. The second one, which is non-love related, is financial independence and hard work. You need to go for somebody who's probably hardworking and financially independent, because as you progress in a relationship, you find that the spark of love you had at the beginning of the relationship is no longer there. Therefore, love in itself is not an end in itself. There has to be other factors which have to complement the relationship.
Exactly, especially in this economy.
The other thing is, if somebody is not financially independent and hardworking, that might affect the quality of life and the quality of life of your children subsequently. So you need somebody who loves you, but at the same time has got financial independence and is hardworking. And you can only be able to establish the character of the person by spending a bit of time in a relationship with them, because you realize that all relationships start on a very, very good note. But as you progress, you find that spark kind of wears out.
Difficulties.
Therefore, the only way to establish whether somebody is suitable for you or not is to spend a bit of time with them. Don't rush into tying the knot, because you only come and discover some issues which you may not be comfortable with long after you've already committed yourself.
Yeah, I agree. That was very good advice.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dr. David Adebayo, a university lecturer. I live in Leicester.
And what do you like to do for fun?
For fun, I like watching football. I also like watching long tennis ball. I also like reading news and just get information up and down.
Hey, thank you. So, what do you think are qualities of a good husband, and what makes a successful relationship or marriage?
The quality of a good husband are many. A good husband must love his wife. Love is very important in any marriage. If a man does not love his wife, then there's no reason for them to marry. In any marriage, love should be the basis, should be the reason why you are married somebody. So you love your wife, you must also love your children. You must love everyone around you, but we are talking about a home now. As a husband, you need to love them genuinely. And doing that will make you a good husband. And you must be able to provide for your homes as well. And that's why the Bible tells us that if a man cannot provide for his own home, an unbeliever is better than him. So, for you to have a good home, for you to have a successful marriage, you must love your wife, love your children, and you must be able to provide for your home. And so, as a man, you must have something that you are doing. You must not be lazy. A lazy man should not be an husband. Mm-hmm. So, you must really be hardworking, be able to provide for your home, be able to provide for your wife's needs and the children as well. Also, to be a good husband, you must be able to listen. Be able to listen to your wife, be able to understand things that are happening to her at any point in time, because women are different point in time. So you must be able to listen, know exactly what her problem is at a particular time. You must be a good friend to your wife. I mean, like I've said, you must be able to listen to your wife, know when she's happy, know when she's not happy, and that we help you. The ability to communicate is also important. You must be able to communicate with your wife at discuss things, deep things, and stay together, laugh together, take care of each other. In time of what should a young lady be looking for in a marriage, either a young lady or a young man? For a man, the only scripture that is coming to my mind now is what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. If you read it, you will know exactly the kind of wife you are looking for. And by the time you read that, look for that quality in a woman that you want to marry. It's not that the lady must have money, must have this, must have that. That is not the most important thing. It's not only about the beauty. Beauty is okay, it's good, but you must not look at beauty as the only entity. Beauty is fine. A lady that is beautiful and there's no character, is not a good wife. And there's a difference between a wife and a woman. Two of them are not the same. So you need to know that as a man. And once you know that, God will help you and you will be able to manage your home. Also, you must know exactly what you are looking for. Not just that today you pick this one, tomorrow you go and pick another one, and you are just picking and drop. That is not, it means you don't have a vision. You don't know what you are looking for. You must know what you are looking for right from the beginning. And once you do that, that will help you. Similarly, for a lady, don't just look for a man because he has got money, because he's handsome, because he's this, because he's that. We should remember that what you look for today that make you happy, if that thing is no longer there tomorrow, it's going to be a problem. For example, if you think, oh, this person has got money today, and in few years to come, there's no money again, that will be a problem. Yeah. If you think somebody is handsome today, and in few years, maybe something just happened, God forbid, and that could be a major problem. And the person you think, oh, this is a lovely husband, this is handsome husband, and something happened to him, and is no longer handsome the way you saw him at the beginning, that could bring a problem. So look for a godly man, somebody that fear God, somebody that love God. If a man has got this character, you will be sure, I can guarantee you, you will not regret marry somebody who is godly, who loves God, and who loves you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, MH, I really like what your dad said about servanthood. He's such a QE. That's a real man for real. But yeah, I really liked what he said about servanthood. And in particular, that got me thinking about that famous passage. Obviously, y'all have probably heard it, Ephesians 5:22-24, which is, you know, about wives submit to your husbands. Husbands, like...
Love your wives.
Ciao. Anyways, let me just wheel it up because I can't read and I also can't remember. yeah, it just got me thinking of Ephesians 5:22, which is obviously about wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives just as Christ loved the church. I think that would be a good place to start because that's a scripture that has definitely been butchered in terms of, like, in my opinion, wrongly interpreted and weaponized, especially when it comes to conversations about marriage and the male-female dynamic in the church. So who wants to kick us off and tell us what it really means?
A powerful image that is used all throughout the Bible is Jesus as the groom and the church as the bridegroom. And when we see the love God has for us is personified in the person of Jesus, in which Jesus literally gave up his life for his love, the church. And I think everything in the Bible is done intentionally and is done through the... So I don't think the metaphor or the comparison between it is a mistake
or should be taken lightly.
Yeah. And it just goes to show that that is a amount of love God expects for us as, or expects for grooms or husbands to be able to show their wives. And I think also when we talk about, what's it called, wives submit to your husbands, I think it shouldn't be something that is weaponized.
Right.
And it shouldn't be something that you're begrudging to do as a woman to submit. Like people say, I'll submit people I respect. And I think it only becomes like an argument when it's like, you must submit to me. And which submit equals obey everything I say. Don't talk without me talking to you first. Mm. Like doing things with my permission. That is not how I believe marriage should work, because you're two well-functioning, autonomous people.
Adults.
Yeah.
Right.
Two things. My dad didn't mention it because he didn't have enough time. If I had given him time, he would have spoken for hours. He always says he grew up with a lot. He has a lot more sisters than he has brothers. So when he would speak to his sisters, they're mostly younger than him. But he would speak to his sisters like boyfriends at the time who are now like their fiancés or husbands. You know, one thing he would always say is, you know, like in as much as maybe you believe your wife should submit, never forget that that was not an instruction. That was not an instruction that was given to a husband. The scripture does not say husbands ensure that your wife submit. Wives submit is an instruction to the wife. He said, therefore, that doesn't concern him. His own instruction is husbands love your wife as Christ loves the church. So yes, you may want a woman who is submissive, but that's not your role to enforce. That's the Lord's role to guide, you know. In as much as you're somebody's husband, you are not their, you could be your spiritual
their
partner.
Master.
Yeah, you're not their master, essentially, exactly.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, submission does not mean surrender. In some contexts, they can be synonymous, but submission, when you think of surrender, you think of a fight, you think of a feat, you think of a victor and a loser.
Right.
But when it comes to biblical submission, at least in what I've seen modeled in my parents' marriage and what I understand it to be, is it is, as Winip and I have highlighted, about a relationship and about being like, okay, if somebody requires or wants this of me, do I love them enough to do it?
Right.
Or is like, just essentially, like, is our relationship to a point where they ask something of me and I'm trusting of them or I want to do it? Just as... Scripture models that between the church and Jesus. You know, there are difficult things that the Lord asks of us all the time. Whether it's just loving your neighbor, loving your enemy, turning the other cheek. Lord knows I would love to throw hands sometimes. I would love to throw hands. So, like, that's just another one of those, not in the same way, but I guess in a parallel way, one of those difficult things.
No, I hear that. I feel like that kind of links to what it is that my dad was saying about marriage being an equal partnership, which is something I will constantly preach. But I feel like, especially in a Christian context, you know, sometimes we are presented with this idea that the woman in general is the lesser sex. And I feel like right from the beginning, like we've been seeing that like women were supposed to be equal. And I feel like it's people's interpretation and that kind of thing and patriarchy through the years and stuff, which has kind of like, you know, disfigured that presentation of women. But like, I do think that, or from what I've seen, the successful marriages are the ones which are partnerships, i.e. it's, you know, you give me five, I give you five. You know what I mean? It's not just about, I have to do this because I am the man and therefore this is what men do and da-da-da-da-da, and I have too much pride to do something else. And, you know, it's not about you're always going to do X, Y, Z and I always have to relax. You know what I mean?
I agree. I think that comes into, as you were speaking, you just reminded me of something. I did a Bible plan last year and then or a couple of years ago, then I did it again this year about, it's based off of a book by Lisa Bevere called Without Rival. And she said that as she was writing the book, a revelation the Holy Spirit gave to her, so take this as you will, because there's not like a word for word Bible verse that backs it up, is that the Lord does not necessarily love us, or rather, the Lord loves us uniquely.
Right.
So when we think about equal love, we think my mom gives me $200, my sister also gets $200, so that is equal love. We think of like the same synonymous blanket thing. But I don't think that's necessarily God's approach to love. God loves us uniquely. And therefore, we all have unique purposes in whatever capacity. Mm. So as we view marriage between two people, it's therefore, yes, we may have different roles, even different things that I guess can be aligned to culture or to whatever, or to status or to money, or however you navigate your relationship. Ultimately, it's a unique role that God has given us as wives and as husbands, and therefore we should sort of strive to be the best in that unique role, opposed to trying to subjugate somebody else and be like, oh, you do this because you are that and therefore you are lesser, and
right,
or you are more, so you do this. Or it's more, okay, what role has God given me, you, this unique role, because you can do it better than me.
No, I was just gonna say, like, I really agree with you that it's not like you have this role by virtue of the fact that you are this person. So, i.e., it's not you cook because you're the wife. It's like, who's going to take on what role because that's what they're more fit to do. That's what they felt called to do. You know what I mean? So that could be like, you know, with what's, I guess, considered atypical as like the man being the primary caregiver. You know what I mean? Or the woman going out to work and that sort of thing. But I think we're just like, as a culture, so stuck in the idea that this gendered role means this specific thing. And so we don't kind of look beyond that when each marriage is unique, you know, and the love and the partnership should be unique to those people.
I think it's also important to note that marriage isn't like two strangers and that you've just forced to get together,
right,
and then work it out through there. There should be things that you're looking for or looking at while you're just friends, while you're dating. And even especially the preparation to marriage, like these are things that should be discussed and things that you should be able to see how your partner functions. Not, don't ask them to cook for you, but the, like, how they function in certain areas. And yeah, I just think they should be able to, like, see and discuss your views on certain things. They shouldn't wait till you're married or in marriage counselling before you you finally realise that this person does not align with you at all.
No, I agree.
It's even true, man. Like, imagine just entering counselling and you realise that your husband is a closeted misogynist. My head would scatter. Oh my
gosh, you know, I could just fall down and die. That's how you can just kill me. If you want me dead in a ditch, just lie to me about your misogyny and let me find out in the future. No, it's even true. But this is just a really quick aside, but sometimes you really think you know someone, but you actually don't, because like the other day, like when we were in London, oh yeah, you guys were there, we were watching Hitch, right? And then I can't remember who was it, but like, if you guys don't know, Hitch is about this guy, and he's basically, it's Will Smith, and he's a matchmaker, and he basically puts these women in situations that kind of make them fall for the guy that he's coaching. And I don't know who it was, but someone told the story of this guy that did it in real life. And he basically, yeah, it was MH. And he basically like paid a couple male models to go out with her and then break her heart and like treat her really badly so that like he could then be the shoulder to cry on. And like one day, I think he was drunk or something. By this point, they had children and he kind of revealed that he'd done this. And the next day he didn't even remember that he said it. And I just thought, wow, first of all, men are wicked. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you really think you know someone. Imagine someone tricking you. And it's not even a thing where I can be flattered because you've gone to effort to win me over. No, mm-mm. I'm disgusted. Just
deceit.
Deceit. As in, but anyway, that was just a quick aside because sometimes you really think you know someone and then
it's true.
I think when it comes to communication and being on the same wavelength, we can only speak from our own experiences. Well, we are not married, but from our own perceptions of marriage. And so with that being said, if one is happy to perform quote unquote traditional roles, I think that is great and you should thrive and prosper within your unique role.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that communication is going to save a lot of people's behinds. It's going to save marriages. 50% of marriages, Christian and non-Christian, end in divorce. Because I think a lot of people are not on the same page. We talked about this. I can't even remember if we included it, y'all, in the original clip, in the published clip from last week's recording. But about like, you, like, who do you want to be? What is your purpose in life? Like, what do you want a family to be? What do you want a marriage to be? And when you're 45 or 50 years old, what do you want to come home and see? Do you want to come home and, you know, be in your family home that you've had for 25 years and you're about to pay off the mortgage? Or do you want to be bags packed on the way? Yeah, traveling. Like, what do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Where do you want to go? Because these sort of conversations will just save everybody a whole world of heartache. Like, I don't know. I don't know where I would necessarily want to be in 45 years, but when I think about, I don't know, like being a mom or like having a family, I'm so like, okay, this goes out real bad. I don't care. I always say like, yes, I want to work. Everybody, like, if you know me, I want to work. I'm always like,
have your own money. I know what you're going to say, and I already agree.
But let me tell you, the minute that I had the opportunity to be a stay-at-home mama, do you know what I'm going to be doing staying at home?
Do you know what? I honestly said this to my mom. Yeah, like, obviously, you know me, boss, lady, beginning, whatever, whatever. But if I could have my way, I would marry someone who's also spending this time securing their bag, too. So that by the time I want to just be a Porsche mom, as in a wine at midday mom, like, you guys don't even know, but there's a street in York called Bishop Thorpe Road. I want to be a Bishy Road mom. Yeah. And when I want to do that and just wear my yoga pants. Exactly. When I just want to live like Nini. Maybe I can just open one swag boutique just to keep me busy, but I don't need it. Then, child, I'm lazy. That's what I'm trying to do.
So, like, for real, y'all, like, these sort of conversations, like, we're serious. I mean, we're joking, but we're serious. Like, I do want to, like, have the time to, like, be at home, you know, or, like, pursue my own things or, like, you know, do what I want to do. So being on those same pages, communication is very, very important. That's why I could think I could speak for all of us. Nonchalant men, nonchalant, however you want to say it. Y'all better pop the deuces.
As in deuces. As in to right, left. I don't have time for it. I actually like intentional men. Oh, child, someone just came to mind. But, let me not even start dropping names. That was for last week's episodes. Beepity beep beep, redacted. Anyways, I really don't like men who just aren't intentional. Like, not even just like, not like you always have to be planning everything, but at least communicate so that I know I'm not bothering you when I message or like when I try to do something. But yeah, I feel like communication is really important. And like we said last week, honesty with that. Because I feel like if you're the sort of person who would rather keep things to yourself to avoid confrontation, like that's just the way to bubble up the pot. Like, let's talk about it and be adults. Like, it doesn't need to erupt into arguments or beef. Like, let's just be communicating. Because what's done in the dark will always come to light, really and truly. Mm-hmm. Really and truly.
And different people also have different communication styles. Mm. That's what getting to know people for. And I think people have different perspectives on this, but I feel that once you start seeing someone like very romantically or like date or start to know, get to know people because you want to date them in the end, kind of clouds your judgment because you, while you're getting to know them, the red flags, you're closing one eye to it, closing the other eye.
Now you're colorblind.
Because you're trying to get to the destination right. of why you started talking to them. So I think establishing a foundation of friendship and actually getting to know the person will help in the long run. Because there's some people that you've wasted 4 months in talking stage and you don't even like them as a person. Like, would you even hang out with them?
No, period.
That one hit close to home.
That's very much true because I feel like it's always true. Like, when you are getting to know somebody, we have since abolished the talking stage. When you're getting to know someone, seeing somebody, dating somebody, whatever you want to call it, I hate the thought of just wasting my time. I tell the girls all the time, the thought of someone just knowing something about me for us to go to being strangers, like, mm-hmm. I don't want anything to do with you, all of that. Like, no, I do not like the idea of that. Like, yeah. I don't understand why my time should have been wasted with you. Like, no, we should just be friends.
Period.
Well, I feel personally that is important to marry a Christian. And as the Bible said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord,
will enter into.
Enter. So not everyone who says, I'm a Christian boy, not everyone in church is really...
Not everyone in your congregation.
Just because they're in youth group doesn't mean...
Oh, just because they're youth leader.
Yeah, so I was just saying that... that you still have to use the spirit of discernment, like we mentioned last week.
Right.
And, yeah, and it's not a thing where you're trying to push someone up to reach your level.
Right.
Like, you shouldn't be using dating to
evangelize.
Right.
But, yeah, that's the thing I would, like, if I'm having to evangelize through my dating, I wouldn't consider us equally yoked. Either, you know what I mean? And I feel like 9 times out of 10, it's not you who will lift them up, it's them who will bring you down. Do you know what I mean? If it's, oh, babes, let's go to church, like, oh, babes, come on, let's just, I'm tired, let's just relax. Or so suddenly you're relaxing.
But that's not to say that just because you're not on the same level right now,
right,
that person isn't the one for you. Like, you can be friends.
No, it's true.
You don't have to rush into everything.
You can do that too. That they will grow. Not for them to grow to be your significant other,
your husband,
but for them to grow. Just period. You want growth for your friends. You want growth for yourself.
But I don't think it's a thing where you just have to be forced in a relationship because you think this person's good looking and you know they're kind of they're a little bit Christian. So you feel like you can take them to where you feel they should be. Child, it's not your job.
Like, when I think about marriage, it's like you're choosing to marry someone, what you know about them and what you don't know about them. So do you love what you know about them enough for what you don't know about them to be calm? And I just think of this passage in Genesis 31. I just checked it before we started the recording. I read it maybe last year, and it has just stayed with me since. It's about Jacob, Rachel, and Leah. If you haven't read it, basically... Rachel and Leah were sisters. Jacob saw
Leah.
Rachel, which is the one he wanted. He wanted Rachel.
But then the dad
came to swindle him, essentially. But he ended up with two wives, so big up.
Shout out, Jacob.
Anyway, so a time's coming where they're meant to be... So it's Jacob with his two wives and his family, and they're meant to be separate. Well, the Lord has told Jacob, it's time for you to go from Laban. He's been a bit wicked to you guys, like... It's time for you to separate. And Jacob's telling God, like, Lord, how am I meant to say this? Like, this is the father of, like, my wives, like, the granddad, you know, like, he is the big man. How am I going to tell our family that the Lord is telling us to move away? And when Jacob goes to tell Rachel and Leah about what he feels the Lord has revealed to him, their response is, if this is what the Lord has told you to do, go and do it. And to me, that was just so profound because it was like, I want to be the sort of wife, and I hope to have the sort of husband, well, I want to have the sort of husband where when you say something that God has given you a revelation, I trust your relationship with God enough to follow that. Like, it's different. I trust Winipa and trust Ayanpa as people and as friends, but can they trust me and my faith? Like, can they trust when I say God has told me this, it's actually what God has told me? Not to say that you can't get it wrong, but I just think that's something that's just so crucial in a marriage, because how can I just be following you up and down, or you are like, or us just doing things up and down because of every, I think somehow, maybe feel, perhaps, maybe.
Inkling.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What is that from?
Honestly. Now that's even deep. I like that a lot. Because really, like, in a marriage, like, you really just, like, you're just, like, doing life with this whole other person. But, like, what is that person being guided by? Because honestly, there's people who say, like, just vibes. No faith, just vibes. No prayer, just vibes. No, because there's really people that will just be like, oh, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that. And I'll just be squinting my eye, thinking, which Lord is that that told you that? Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to have that kind of, I don't want to have to ask myself that question with my mans.
It's a deep one, because I just feel like, as much as I say that, like, oh, yeah, I want to trust my husband's relationship with the Lord, will he be able to trust mine?
Do I trust my own?
Do I trust my own?
Do I really know when the Lord is telling me things?
Or do I listen?
Oh, well, stay tuned. Find out next time. Spoiler alert, the answer is not always. No, for real. But I feel like that just comes into a bigger thing of, like, working on yourself before you want to be jumping into something serious, because, like,
definitely,
like we said, like, do I even trust my own relationship with the Lord? Like, let's be getting first things first. Like, let's be, you know, figuring out what needs to be figured out with ourselves before we're, you know, jumping on to looking if other people have their thing figured out. And yeah, I just feel like that's something I definitely look at my own life. I feel like I would want to be spiritually in a place where I feel like very connected to God, or very kind of like, I would say, very firm in my faith and know what I will and will not compromise on before I want to be adding another person into that mix. I think that's something that's really important for me.
That's not to say, I don't think Winipa, please correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think she means that she wants to have everything together, because we'll never have everything together.
No,
before she's like trying to, you're never really going to be quote unquote ready for a relationship. You're joining your entire life with somebody else, bro. Like, bro,
right.
That's not normal. That's not really an everyday thing. But it's more like, that's where discernment comes in, like knowing what this season means for you. Even season is just one Christianese word. What does today mean for me?
Christianese!
Like, what does today mean for me? What does this week mean for me? Season. What does this term mean for me if you're in school? What does the lot of this year mean for me? You know,
I feel like the way I see it is kind of the way I see, like, my situation with uni in two different type of ways. Like, in one way, I see it as, like, as much as you can prepare for uni and you've done your A-levels and all that kind of stuff, you're as ready as you can be, but nothing will fully prepare you for uni. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know exactly what to expect. So it's like, I want to get myself together as much as I can for uni. I want to have my iron bought. I want to have learned how to cook small meal. You know, I want to know how to do my own laundry. I want to have done a little bit of pre-reading for uni and be as prepared as I can be myself. But that's not to say I need to have all the answers, because I don't know what to expect. And another analogy that I thought of 5 seconds ago is just that I feel like it's kind of like my actual situation with uni spiritually, because I feel like there was no way to be fully spiritually ready for uni, but I wish that I had had a closer relationship with God at the time so that I could go into uni being a bit more uncompromising about certain things. And that's how I feel about a relationship. It's not that I will have it all figured out, or I need to be quote unquote the perfect Christian, but I need to at least have that kind of grounding and a personal relationship with Christ before it's like all these other things are introduced into the mix, which can throw me off. And suddenly I'm just, you know, letting myself be thrown around like one rag doll because I don't have any firm foundation to stand on. So yeah.
You just remind me of something, Winipa, when you said the perfect Christian, because I've just finished this like series of essays from Maya Angelou, and she had sort of like a Christian religious background. And in one of her essays, she was like, she's always taken aback when people say that they're Christian, because she thinks already isn't a Christian sort of almost like a lifelong thing, learning to turn the other cheek and love your neighbor and be sacrificial. And I agree to that to some extent, but I just think it's the sort of thing where like Christian it just literally means like little Christ. So in as much as that's our identity, it's also something that we're becoming. It says in the New Testament, I can't remember where, it talks about the Lord is Christ will take our own mortal bodies and change them into a glorious body like his own. Like it's a continual everyday thing. Even when we have reached maybe the point in that we think of now is like, yes, I would have gotten it. Like I'm on top of things. Like thank the Lord. Like me and God are just like so tight right now. There's still be something more. Like there's always more.
There's always room for growth.
Yeah, there's always
right.
more.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
I hear that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you said, Renata, about preparing yourself before, or like working yourself before you get into a relationship. Like you said, you can't predict the things that may throw you off. Things that there are certain things in relationships that you have to go through for the first time.
Right. So
there's things that you'll experience in a romantic relationship that you won't experience in any other type of relationship, and you don't really know how you would react until you're in the situation.
Right.
So the best thing you can do is to work on what will, I guess, determine your reaction.
Yeah, I really like that point. It just reminded me of something someone in Bible study said one time, just as a passing comment, but it really stuck with me. And it was like, the thing with endurance is that you don't get to practice endurance. You only deal with endurance when you're already going through something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you can never really be fully prepared. You can have the qualities that might make endurance easier for you, but in terms of that particular feeling and that particular struggle, you can't practice for it. So yeah. And also just on the topic, because I just remembered something else juicy that we haven't even covered yet, but people requested us to talk about as well, which I think is really important. In terms of knowing what you will and will not stand for, let's talk about celibacy, abstinence, whatever you want to call it, sex before marriage, etc., etc.
Me, I don't even know what that is. I don't know it. What's that? I'm joking, y'all.
Never heard of her. Never seen her. Anyways, thoughts, questions, queries, comments? Who wants to kick us off?
I'd say it's something that you need to know for yourself. Because my friend asked me like a while ago, she was like, why are you celibate or why are you abstinent? But don't tell me because the church told you to, or because like your parents told you to, or because it's expected of you. Like, why have you made the decision? And I answered her, but I think it's something that you don't really think about. You just have like the Bible says, but, or that's how I've been raised, that's what is expected of me. And I think there's certain things like drinking as well, and partying and things like that, especially before university, that you need to know where you stand on this and why, because you can't base your standing off other people's expectations, because when those expectations aren't on your neck and you're being swayed, then you may crumble. So I think it's definitely something that you need to think of, why I'm making this decision, and you can't allow other people to make that decision for you.
Right. And I would say when it comes to that, particularly when it comes to sex before marriage, because it's one of those things where we were discussing this earlier, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, if you want to pull me up, we're all about learning here, but I feel like it's never explicitly mentioned in the Bible that you shouldn't have sex before marriage. And so I feel like where you stand on these issues really needs to be principled and guided, and like you need to have done that searching for yourself, because if it's just one of them things which you heard from your pastor and you're doing it because your pastor said, it's not going to end well. Because firstly, let me tell you, in my opinion, some of these pastors are telling things.
I feel like the reason that it's preached or encouraged, or basically is instructed, is because if you look in the Old Testament and just Jewish religion and like the culture, sex was used to consummate
marriage. Yeah.
So if you weren't married, you don't have sex. And I just think that that's the basic.
That's the basis.
I need to do more reading on it, of course. But
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think it comes from something to do with like Adam and Eve. It says like Adam knew Eve, and that's kind of like Bible for they got jiggy with it. And now they're married, do you know what I mean? So, but yeah, I don't profess to come with any answers, but I will say it's something that I feel people should search for themselves for definite. I would say that with any spiritual matter, don't just do stuff because you heard it, because that actually won't be enough of a reason for you to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what the girls have both said. I'm still, and I think we all are, we are abstinent. Well, I'm abstinent, but right. I mean, I've never been in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, so it's definitely know why you do it. And I think abstinence is just, it's a wider discussion about purity. And I think this is said a lot in Christian circles, so I don't want to like beat a dead horse, but it's like, really, it's about purity. Like, what does purity... What is God, how do I say this? It's not, because I think sometimes it's been like, how much can you get away with as a Christian? Or not even get away with, because like I'm not hiding from God. He can see me anyway. Like, I'm not getting away from anything. It's just more like, what does purity mean for me? And we don't mean to be like, religion is always relative. I don't think that's what we're saying. Like, I still believe that there's a value to being abstinent. But that also aligns with just, I guess, who I am as a person. Just how I view like, intimacy and vulnerability. Like, anyway, but that's just a personal thing. But yeah, I think it's just a bigger discussion about purity, and it just happens to overlap into like the physical aspect of being in a relationship. But like, there are people who don't even kiss their partner until their wedding day. There are some people who weren't holding hands until they're engaged. As for them, I can't say that I am of the same inclination.
As for me and my household. For me personally, my wedding can't be the first time I lips my babes, because what if you're a bad kisser? Let's say though, I had my first kiss when I was 15, and I know it was bad now, and I knew it was bad at the time. I can't wait till marriage to be kissing and hugging, but that's just my prerogative. There's people that don't even want to hold hands. That's you. If that's gonna keep you, you know, on the right track, doing what it is you feel you need to be doing, do it.
So many things influence that, like your your relational history, babe. Like, because if you were somebody who was sexually active and then you became abstinent, you're going to know what your so-called turn-ons or whatever are. So you're going to want to probably, if you're trying to be abstinent, avoid those. So some people are like, they don't kiss their partner because they know that's a turn-on for them.
I'm like, caveat, because I was just thinking, in case, I say caveat a lot on this freaking thing. but anyway, just in case there are some people who are like, because I never know there's people who are married who listen to this, or people who are engaged and stuff, and they're probably thinking, these stupid kids don't know one single thing about marriage, and here they are talking for damn near 1 hour about marriage. What do they know? We're literally speaking as 20-year-olds. This is what we have seen with our eyes. This is what we think. Yeah. And like, I feel like that's a big point of this podcast, is kind of for us to be able to track our growth. Cause like we said, like even the self confidence and body image episode, you might have noticed like we just called it part one and didn't say anything more about it. But that's cause at some point in the future, we want to revisit it when we're a bit more grown and be like, oh, this is what younger me thought. So this is definitely one of them where we're going to listen in a few years and be like, how naive we were. But No, as it, imagine me, imagine him listening to that and I'm like, oh yeah, I want a medium ugly babe. So he's like, oh babe, you think I'm ugly? I'll be like,
yes.
Yeah! Guys, Ayobe has no filter. Like, I actually pray, the man that she marries, fam, he has
his
to be
skin
so
has
flawless.
To be thick. This is why I said you have to work on yourself before you enter a relationship. You better be training your heart for abuse.
Oh my gosh, and the thing is, when you guys see Iron Fair, like, she's literally, I always tell people, she's a Disney princess in real
no,
life.
No, honestly, honestly. Like, she has a face that would just melt butter, like, it's so warm. Like,
guys, you're not even, you don't even know. As in, Iron Fair stands next to men and she makes them glow up. I have seen it.
Period. If I even put a before and after, you'll even be shocked. You'll even be scared. Because she had one babe looking very sweet. Who I know for a fact to not be particularly sweet.
I know exactly the photo you're talking
about. No, but it's one of them where that's kind of, in my opinion, MH, back me up here, that's kind of what makes her most dangerous. Because I feel like if it's someone that kind of looks, you know, scary and is scary, you want to fight, you want to tussle. The real answer is sex before marriage. The verdict is ciao.
No from us
yeah. Personally, but
you need to know why.
And I say this all the time and people get sick of it, but I really do be believing that it's a journey and it's about discretion, discernment, conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
those three things. So
yeah, no, 100%.
Personally, I'm not judging, but if the Lord convicts you otherwise, follow that conviction, because I feel like there are a lot of benefits to it as well.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed our discussion tonight. We want to end on a real lighthearted note. So, girls, what's your, like, dream wedding vibe? Like, are you a boho chic type of babe? Do you want to be outdoors? Do you want to be in the city? Do you want to be beach destination? Do you want to elope? Like, what do you
want to
do?
Hello, child. Imagine that. Imagine everyone not seeing me get married. MH, why don't you start? What's your dream wedding?
Yeah, your Pinterest
board. Oh, my Pinterest board. I hope that boyfriend, if you're listening to this in the future, please look at my Pinterest board. It will have everything. No, but for real, I've been planning my wedding for the past 4 years, honey. Pinterest board is full. I think my styles evolve. I think as, like, Black African weddings have become more popular, I realize I'm not that sort of person in general. Like, I don't like to dance too much in public. I'm not a sort of, like, hey, like, I'm not a sort of, like, that's
She's
not my
an
vibe.
A-girl.
No, I'm not an A-girl at all. Like, I can A for other people, but for me to just be dancing, absolutely won't bar. So I feel like I want a sort of a chill wedding. I want to have a small wedding, to be honest. Not like super small, because my family is big. Mm-hmm. But I want it to be small. No extra uninvited guests. I told my parents that from the jump. In terms of the vibe, just like, I like lots of light. So maybe like a greenhouse wedding. So like it's indoors,
cute.
But lots of light. I'm not really a plants, but I think I'm a plants baby, but I could never take care of a plant. So just like, I don't know, just like not outdoorsy, but not completely indoors, not a hotel wedding. That's not really my vibe. Just something with lots of light. I like the idea of having like plants, just very like ethereal.
Like nature, but the nature isn't like touching you.
Yes, I feel that. Like a nature wedding, we're inside.
Period. With the glass so that you can see the nature. Right, I see that for you. I feel like that definitely fits in with the vision of the wedding dresses that you've sent in the chat before as well. I can see that together, like kind of sleek, form fitting, a little
lacy, a long
yes,
veil.
A little bit,
yes.
Right. How about you, Ayope?
I think I want three weddings ish. I want my trad in Nigeria. And then I'll have like a little trad wherever I'm residing, and then a white wedding where I live. But I want my trad to be big. I don't think I have a choice in that anyway. But then in my white wedding, I think, I don't know, I do want a big wedding. But I want it to be like white and an accent colour and lights. Maybe, I just want something extra.
Period.
Yeah. Maybe fireworks.
I like that. Like a May ball almost. Give it a
May ball. Come on, Cambridge.
Would you ever get married in a Cambridge college?
No.
I feel that like there's no Cambridge. Sadness. No, as in, imagine me crying on my wedding day, but not because of happiness. I'm right, the supervision here. I was shouted at here. Imagine. I actually considered for a long time getting married in Trinity College's chapel, but it's on, baby, it's not big enough for me. It's actually not enough. So, yeah. For me, my dream wedding, I'm like Ayon Faye, bigger is better. Not too big, though. Like, I don't want it to be, like, people turning up unannounced, uninvited, because that kind of thing doesn't run for me.
I'm not paying for you.
No, as in, but I would like more than one, potentially two or three, depends how much money I get, but I would like to do some traditional things in Zambia, so not necessarily the wedding ceremony itself, but we have things called like a kitchen party and like all these ceremonies and stuff that I would like to do out there. My main wedding, I want to be like the white wedding, so like I kind of touched on earlier, I would love to have like an 18th century dress, as in corset, off shoulder, you know, billows and ruffles and like cathedral length veil and like just all the drama, all the works. And I would love to get married in like a big cathedral, and just, it's really dramatic. And then there's like a choir singing Kissing You by Desiree, and that and then the doors just open from the back and I walk in really slowly while there's like a harp going ding ding ding. If you know the song, you know the vibes. And then like so obviously I want the ceremony to be very regal, very elegant. I already decided I want all my bridesmaids wearing like satin dresses that are kind of like different shades of brown according to their skin tone. I feel like that would just be very beautiful. Oh, that doesn't mean I don't have white friends. Let me just
no, I can't breathe, y'all.
My pet peeve is weddings where the accent color is something like red or like really
obtrusive.
Exactly that. I would quite like a black tie wedding. I think that would be cute. But then I really want the reception to be like a party, like we got enjoy.
Like that scares me. Like the party reception. I'd rather just have like a house party, like when I come back from my honeymoon, like a big villa party, like with my best mates. I do not want to like a, because I just feel like my family is like, y'all don't understand. You do not understand. Does he see me as a dancing in the circle type of babe? Is that me? It isn't.
You better become that babe when it's time to be a bridesmaid at my wedding. No,
that babe.
That babe.
Walking with some other boy, and he's expected us to be doing couple dance. I'm like, listen, babe, lo siento, like, I can't. It gives me anxiety. I'm thinking about it now. My heart rate is increasing. Like,
I'm screaming. When I have you people learning the routine, I don't want to hear anything. But yeah, I would love to do my third wedding like in Italy, like really low key, just like me and him, maybe a couple of our besties, and just in one, you know, in the ruins of a cathedral or something, just with a really simple.
What was the third one before?
Just for vibes. No reason, just vibes.
No, it's true. Yeah. I love the idea of having several wedding dresses. I think I need two at the minimum.
At the minimum.
Oh, actually three, including trad wear.
I'm gonna There'll even be two trad looks. Yeah.
Yeah, multiple.
Of course.
Can't come with one.
Whoa. I'm even excited about
They have two eyes for two dresses.
We even have five senses for five dresses. You can even smell one of them. You can even hear one of them as it enters. Nah, I feel that. I feel like for me personally, I know that I kind of want like a ball gown for the reception, and I can't be dancing and twirling and everything in that. So already it's necessary that I have more than one.
You know? I feel like Bonifa's wedding is giving me very much Beyonce's the best I never had, best thing I never had. Like that without the slip dress. Yes, without the sadness, because the slip dress in the reception and she had the big ball gown for the ceremony. I love that. I love
very that. Very love that. Think that mixed with like 18th century glamour. Bob's your uncle. Pat's your aunt.
Well, guys, we hope you would actually enjoy this episode and hearing us divulge our wedding plans. Please let us know what you think about this, about relationships in general. Send us in your questions, concerns, comments. Come at us with a little bit of smoke. If you want some tea, we got time. but on a serious note, yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. As usual, make sure to keep up with us on all of our socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Do we have anything else? No, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. At Leg Up Podcast, and the playlist as well. So that's coming soon. Keep a lookout for that. Let us know what you want to see from us soon. Next week, episode 10 is going to be our season finale. So that's exciting. And we'll take a couple of weeks hiatus just to
recharge.
Uni starting back soon. So, you know, babes have to put on their academic caps. Winipa's graduating this year. It's a big one. Like,
oh my gosh. It's really happening. It's really happening.
Yeah, but thank you guys so much for listening this far. Lots of love.
Bye, guys. Bye.